Hey, Dan here from Heed the Call. You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
We know you're uncertain about psychics. Is this fortune teller you found on a forum legit?
Your one true love is...
me!
That's why California psychics reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work with us. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. New customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. So, experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff.
Wait, John!
With Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
We have absolutely no time to waste. Tons of games. It's chaos. It's Thursday night. It's Boomer up past his bedtime. Booms, what's going on?
Hey, Mike, week 16 got off to an unbelievable start. What a great football game in Seattle, and what a weird way for the Seattle Seahawks to win.
Yeah, look, I still come out of the game with a couple of takes. We can kind of pick this apart. 38-37 in overtime. I still think the Rams are the better team, and I still think Sam Darnold stinks. So which one do you want to go with first? Because I know those are both counterintuitive considering Seattle won, and you see Darnold completing a two-point play to win a game. I just walk away from it, multiple INTs. You needed a punt touchdown. You needed you can explain the ref call on the two-point conversion because I got up to refill my water, and all of a sudden I'm back. Wait a minute. What do you mean it's a two-pointer? And then I have a Darnold stat for you, but – what were your takeaways last
night? All right, so first of all, I'm not going to go, Sam Darnold stinks. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, you know, he brought his team back 16 points down, 9 minutes to go in the game. That tells me something. You know, that was really good for him. I felt good for him because I wasn't feeling good for him during the game. So, but the fact that he was able to win, they are the number one seed right now. They got a little tougher schedule the next 2 weeks as opposed to the Rams. So that may flip. But I got to feel good for Sam this morning. As far as the officiating is concerned, yeah, you know, it is really tough for us as NFL fans and players and ex-players when we sit there and we watch and the teams are lining up, they're getting ready to receive a kickoff, and all of a sudden the game is stopped. And it's stopped by a group of people in New York that are looking at something, and there are nuances within the rules. And no, you cannot advance a fumble for a two-point play. You know, it's the old holy roller rule that you can't do that. So this is not ruled a fumble. It's actually ruled a loose ball. And in that case, as long as the whistle doesn't blow, the play can continue. And if you are going to do the letter to the law kind of ruling, which this is, they got it right. It's just the way that they went about it made, yes, I think, all of us really uncomfortable.
Yeah, especially when you're lining up to kick. And wait, hold on. Upon further review, I want to give you a stat because I think we're seeing history repeat itself. So Sam Darnold, up until last few weeks of last season, was one of the best tight window throwers in the league, right? Hey, that's the NFL. Let me give you something with Darnold because you're seeing it the last month. And you saw it again last night. Like, we have to be fair about it. Thrown into tight windows since week 11, 2-for-20 for 69 yards, a touchdown, 2 picks. You see it again last night. Boomer, I'll say this. You can win regular season games with him. You can have a really nice record. But you know this as a quarterback. Watch his feet. He's starting to get his happy feet back. And it happened in the last couple weeks last year. And when they tanked it against the Lions, they tanked it in the playoffs. there's something happens with this guy, and I'm leaving it to you to tell me what the hell it is.
Yeah, well, he gets nervous, but I will say this was the best win since his 2017 Rose Bowl win for him. And also, by the way, no quarterback has won more games in the last 2 years than he has, and that's he's won 26 games as a starting quarterback of the Vikings and the Seahawks over the last 2 years. But, you know, maybe he now has found something here in the fourth quarter. Maybe he can build off of that. He can build on the confidence of it. And I know he does look a little bit nervous, but I have to tell you, on the two-point play where he does complete it and they end up winning the game, which they had to go for, by the way, because they couldn't end up in a tie.
I agree totally.
Because the Rams would have still been the number one seed. But here's the thing. He looks it off. He knows exactly where he's going to go to with the ball. He hits his tight end who's delaying coming off the line of scrimmage. And that's the poise that you want to see. And with the game on the line, the biggest play of the night, he showed the greatest amount of poise, I thought. And that's one of the reasons why I'm happy for him. So
you love him. I know you do. Love him the way I don't.
You know what? I was here when the Jets had him, and he was so overwhelmed when he was here. It was just so unfair the way he was treated. And I don't want to feel sorry for a guy that was drafted high in the draft and made a lot of money. But at the end of the day, for me, I just want to see guys grow into the position like Baker Mayfield has down in Tampa Bay and now how Sam Darnold has both in Seattle and Minnesota.
Let's get to the rundown because we got a ton to unpack.
The NFL rundown.
And I have to give Boomer credit. He has maintained his emotions. We'll see if we can test that here. Patrick Mahomes, blown out ACL, LCL as well as the speculation. Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs. But I have a bigger question here. Shouldn't Andy Reid call it a day? Has absolutely nothing to prove. One of the five most influential coaches in modern NFL football. Mahomes is going to miss time next year. How much we'll see. And the team's $50 million over the cap. Don't you hit the beach.
No, he's not going to. This is his life. This is what he loves. By the way, his wife loves being the wife of a head coach and being around a football team. I mean, it's just... it's all he knows. It's all he wants to do. And it's kind of like Bill Belichick. And the team is $50 million over the cap. They can restructure Patrick Mahomes' deal, give him more money, bigger signing bonus. The thing that I worry about with Patrick Mahomes, if it were just an ACL, I would say he could be back by September.
Yes.
But because the LCL is involved with the ACL, man, I think you know, you're looking maybe mid-October to late October. And who is going to quarterback this team? It's certainly not going to be Gardner Minshew, I don't think. So the Chiefs have got a lot of work to do here in the offseason. I would think that because of this injury with Patrick Mahomes, there's a very good chance that next year they don't make the playoffs either.
Well, that was kind of my deal is, you know, you're in your late 60s. You've done it all, Andy. You know, go enjoy yourself. But you're right. He's a lifer. I knew what your answer would be. I just think there is a credible case to kind of take some time in the offseason and go, you know what? I've done it all. This is going to be a multi-year, let's call it a retooling. I don't think it's a rebuild, but they're going to have to retool some things in the way that San Francisco has. Fair?
Very fair, and I think they'll be able to do it, and they have more than enough money, and they've had their share of winning, and there's going to be a lot of guys that need a lot of time off simply because of all the playoff games that they have played over the last 8 years. So
yeah, they're tired.
It's not a bad thing, but I think it's kind of like a retooling thing, like you pointed out. And I think they'll get it done. They're a smart group of football men out there, and they'll figure it all out.
Let's go to the Packers. Look, they lose the game in Denver, which was bad enough. Really just inexplicable to get cut apart by Bo Nix. But Micah Parsons is the headliner. He tears his ACL. My takeaway is, look, the Packers will make the playoffs, but their Super Bowl hopes are done. You just can't lose guys like him and go win a Super Bowl. Can't do it.
I would agree, especially with the Rams and, of course, the Eagles. And, you know, you're still dealing with the Seahawks. I mean, there are a lot of good teams over there in the NFC, and right now they have dropped significantly. And that's why this game on Saturday night between them and the Bears is so big, so big. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. But, yeah, this is a huge loss. I heard a couple of interviews from some of the Packer defensive players this week talking about the loss of Micah Parsons and how much impact he has had on them. And they're all saying that they can withstand the loss. I don't know if they can or not. I'm kind of like with you on this, Mike. I feel like they are definitely still a playoff team. There's no question about that. But losing to the Broncos in Denver had to be about as bad of losses they've had all year long.
What was different for Bo Nix? Because I didn't have four touchdowns and out-dueling, you know, Jordan Love, who's elite as a December quarterback on my bingo board. What changed?
Well, it's 2 weeks in a row now. The week before that, he was 31 of 38. And then last week, all of a sudden, Sean Payton is opening up the offense. He looks more comfortable. If this is the Bo Nix that we're going to see now, because you and I have been talking about this all year long,
yeah,
about how their offense has been a struggle. If this is the Bo Nix that's going to play here at the end of the year, they have a very legitimate shot now to go all the way through the AFC and make it to the Super Bowl.
All right, so if it's not them, I can't believe I'm saying it, but look, when you have Superman, he can do Superman things, and that's what the Bills did. The Patriots can't close a 21-0 lead. You know my adoration for Drake May, but I've said it. They're not ready to go all the way. They're going to have to learn how to do it. The Bills, as flawed as they are, you know, are they the biggest threat to the Broncos?
Well, no, the Texans are. I still think the Texans.
Oh.
And the Texans, and I keep saying this, is that their defense is just assaulting people. And if C.J. Stroud plays like he did last week, then they have a good chance of making it all the way. I mean, you think about the Broncos, the Chargers, the Texans. These are all top defensive teams. And you try to think about, okay, let me think about the point differentials between these teams. I mean, they're all pretty close. The question is can Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills legitimately become Super Bowl and beat everybody, which I don't think is going to be they're not going to be capable because their defense is not as good as the other three defenses that he would have to go against.
Panthers, Bucks. Does either team want to win this division, or can we just eliminate them both? The Bucks blow it on Thursday night. Todd Bowles explodes dressed as a pumpkin in a turtleneck. And then you get the Panthers going out and going, watch this. We're going to go get beat by the Saints and their geriatric rookie. What? Who's going to win this division?
Well, we're going to find out in the next 3 weeks because they play each other twice.
What a blessing.
And it's going to be tooth-pulling, to say the least.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Bucs overall. I still think they're the better team, and I still like Baker Mayfield over Bryce Young. But, you know, I know we're going to talk about this game a little bit later on. I mean, both just had painful losses last week. I mean, I would have thought, and we talked about this, that the Panthers were going to pick it up because of the loss that the Bucs had on Thursday night. And then they go down to New Orleans and lose a game. You figure that out?
And you're up 7 in the fourth quarter, and your pocket-sized game manager still can't get it done. This is why I hate the rules. To me, if you're this bad, I don't care. Congrats, you won the division. Go home. Put a better team in. I mean, honestly.
Well, the argument is, really, I mean, I think the division, as a former player, I think winning the division does have to mean something, and a home playoff game is really what you get if you win your division.
You shouldn't get that then.
There should be a reseeding, maybe. There should be a reseeding, and maybe the team with the better record, the wild card record, should host the playoff game instead of you, who has an And I see that argument. I can kind of get behind that argument as well.
All right, who do you buy more? Because I think both these teams have doubters, but they keep winning. More buyable, and take everything into account: conference, scheduling, everything. Boomer, more buyable: Jacksonville or the Bears?
Bears. The Bears because of Ben Johnson. I think what he's done there and the attitude that he has created there and the amount of turnovers that his defense creates and what Caleb Williams has turned into the last 4 weeks, I have to tell you that I think, you know, he's the leading candidate right now. As we talk about this every week, I would have to say leading candidate for Coach of the Year for what he's done. Now, if they have to beat the Packers on Saturday night, and if they do that, I think he's going to lock that award up. But for me, the Bears are a real team just simply because of their head coach.
I want to bring up Aaron Glenn. I don't know why this became well, Mike Florio said it. You can tell me what you want to do. He fires his DC, Steve Wilks. It was an embarrassing performance in Jacksonville. But the idea of a defensive coach firing his defensive coordinator this late in the season, he brought up the point that he thought there was a chance he could be a one and done. You know my thoughts on that. I think it would be ridiculous. I think it would set the Jets back 2 to 3 years. But I wanted your take. You're right in ground zero here for New York football.
Yeah, I heard that from Mike Florio. We did talk about it on WFAN. I don't think that's going to be the case. And, you know, Mike's plugged in, just like you and I are both plugged in. We all hear different stories and different noise from different people. I haven't heard any negative thing coming out of the Jet building. In other words, everything's on lockdown over there for the first time in 10 years. So he's done a good job in that regard. I didn't like the hiring of Steve Wilks at the beginning of the season. I thought that you were going to come in and run your defense, not have somebody else run the defense for you. And that's why he's now going to be much more involved with Chris Harris, the new interim defensive coordinator. But with all the moves that they've made, this is a rebuilding team. They have 13 draft picks coming up. I cannot imagine that Woody Johnson would separate Darren Mooji from Aaron Glenn at this point.
It'd be ridiculous. And look, when they were winless and he was overwhelmed, I understood the heat. But what did I say? This is the same thing that happened to Dan Campbell here in Detroit. Now, they've won three games. I'm not telling you they're works of art, but they've won a couple of games. You traded two of the best defensive players on the team as well. Just give Aaron Glenn some time. Good man, good coach. I think he'll get the Jets right. All right, let's go to the other losers who share the Big Apple. Made a lot of waves this week. Hard Knocks, the Commanders, basically saying go at him. He plays like a running back, treat him like one. Play through the whistle. I have no issue with it because I'm more angry at Jackson Dart, including his comment about why do they keep taking me out of these games. Gee, I don't know, Jackson. You've been evaluated for five concussions. Did you have any issue with Washington's old school approach?
Absolutely not. I mean, that's exactly what you should be doing. And that's exactly what's going on in the NFL, all over the NFL, in rooms like that. I was just surprised that we were able to actually see that. You know, when we played, there were bounties. Let's face it. You know, we know what the bounty gate was all about down in New Orleans, and that was a real thing. So they see this quarterback running the way he's running, not shying away from contact. I call it youthful inexperience. I call it athleticism takes over the brain. So he's going to have to figure it out. He's going to have to save himself from these hits, just like Josh Allen has had to do during his career. So he'll live and learn, but I understand why defensive coordinators are telling their players, this is the player we're playing, this is the scouting report, go after him.
Yeah, and look, I you know my feeling on this. I think he's established himself as the guy, which is like step one of 100 to trying to get up off the mat in the NFL. The other problem is like this late in the year, Jackson, hey man, you know what? We want you to develop. We want you to get reps. You mind taking it easy? You mind sliding? I mean, come on. Last couple weeks. No, I'm saying for your own good, kid. Let us go get you some help this offseason.
So, that we'll kid see. Just wants to play football. I love it. I kind of like it, and I understand it as a rookie. But, you know, look, he'll learn. He'll learn quickly, believe me.
All right. Look, we got a lot more to cover, including a quarterback carousel later, lots of benchings and movement. We got picks coming up, including maybe the greatest mismatch in the history of the NFL. I'll explain all of that and more coming up next. It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valeni.
Coca-Cola, for the big, for the small, the short, and the tall. Peacemakers, risk takers. For the optimists, pessimists. For long distance love. For introverts and extroverts. The thinkers and the doers. For old friends and new. Coca-Cola, for everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
Doug.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Vrbo helps you swap gift wrap time for quality time. Go to Vrbo now and book a last-minute week-long stay and save over $390 this holiday season. Book your next vacation rental home on Vrbo. Average savings $396. Select homes only.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, we've got some fun this week. Lots of live home underdogs. It is the month of December. The one thing I would tell you, if you're going to mess around with this stuff, I don't encourage that, but if you do, underdogs, divisional month of December at home. It is a thing, guys. Also, unders. I know that's not sexy, but if you want to mess around, at least know the rules of engagement. Let's get to the picks.
Picks of the week.
We begin with a prime example of this. The Philadelphia Eagles laying 6.5. They travel to D.C. to take on Washington.
You know, and just because they coming off of this game, this get-right game against the Raiders, doesn't mean that the Washington Commanders are going to lay down. I don't think they'll lay down. I think this is a tight game. I think the Eagles will win, but I'm going to take the Washington Commanders, and I will take the points.
Amen, brother. Home divisional dog, and I'm sorry to Eagle fans. Anything you do against the Raiders is null and void. Give me the points. Give me the Commanders. Bears, Saturday night against the Pack. Bears now laying 1.5.
Yeah, you know, it's an easy one for me. This is a revenge spot, and you know, when you think back to Ben Johnson's hiring by the Bears, he said he loves beating Matt LaFleur and the Packers. You know, it was kind of a joke, but it was also serious because he's extremely competitive. He's an aggressive guy. I love the way he coaches. I love everything he's done with the Bears, and that's why I think this is a bounce back revenge spot for them, and I think they'll win the game, and therefore they'll cover the 1.5 points.
If Caleb Williams is 2 throws better, they win that game a couple weeks ago. I think you can improve. I think what he's done with Caleb Williams is pretty incredible. Caleb still has a tendency to miss the easy throw and then make the how the hell did he do that play, but they've got the running game. There's no Micah Parsons. If Caleb can learn from a couple of mistakes, hey, the checkdown's right there. Take it. You don't need to be a hero. I think they win the game. I'll take the Bears. Bills laying 10.5 as they go on the road to the Browns.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't like what the way Shedeur Sanders looked last week. I don't think he's ready yet. You know, he holds on to the ball. I mean, did you see him throw the interception and just stand there, Mike?
Yes.
I mean, do you think his teammates respect that?
No, the Shedeur thing, it's lost on me. It just from, remember last year, you thought people were insulting people's mothers if you said, well, look, I don't think Shadur's that good. I mean, Mel Kiper had a psychological break live on the air. He ran a high school offense at Colorado. You nailed it. He holds the football, does not have elite size, does not have elite mobility, and doesn't have elite arm talent. What are we talking about? It's not that good.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a lack of effort. You know, throw an interception and stand there and watch.
That's who
it.
He is.
And you know, I'm telling you right now, every football player has ever played saw that replay and just said, get him out of here. So I'm taking the Bills. I just cannot take the Browns under these circumstances. And it's going to be really interesting to see what the Browns do with their coaching staff once this season comes to an end.
You're nailing it. For the first time, I'm starting to wonder if Stefanski's going to get gone. It's still a lot of points. I don't know. It's an emotional, big-time game for the Bills last week. Little up-down theory. Bills win, Browns cover. Give me the Brownies. Here, you know what to do here. Promise me. Cowboys are favored over the Bolts. Cowboys laying 2.5.
Yeah, I know what they're saying to you. I know what this number is saying to you, but I gotta talk about a defense that has showed up every week, and that's the Charger defense, man. The Charger defense is one of the top 4 defenses in the NFL. And I know that they're struggling on their offensive line, but I am not a big believer in the Cowboys at all, especially defensively. So I'm sure you're gonna probably take the Cowboys. I'm taking the Chargers.
I am. I'm going to take the Cowboys at home. When the wrong team is favored, it tells you something. The Chargers, man, it's a shame. If their offensive line didn't get torn to shreds, they were my sweetheart, you know, sleeper Super Bowl team in the AFC with the Pats. It's a shame because Harbaugh's done a great job. Saints, how about this one? You got the bravery to lay 6.5 with the Saints against the Jets?
I 100% do, and I did so on my WFAN show on Friday, so I'm going to do it again right here. It's Brady Cook starting for the Jets. I don't know where the Jets are going to be defensively. I think the Saints are underrated. I think their defense is pretty damn good. I think Kellen Moore has gotten a lot out of Tyler Shuck. I just think that the Jets are kind of quietly tanking, if you know what I'm talking about.
It's what the Giants should be doing, by the way. We'll get to them in a minute. For the purpose of this show, I'll take the Saints. Never in a million years would I lay 6.5 points with a 3-4 win team. Bucks. Oh, God. In the somebody please win this game of the week, Bucks laying 3.5, they travel to Carolina.
You know, if it were 3 or less, I'd take the Bucks. But since it's 3.5, I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers. And I could see this being a 20-17 game, 23-20 game, and that half a point is going to win me some money this week.
I think you're all over it. Carolina, the running game, the defense, the Bucs, just the devil's in the details. They're terrible at it. It sucks. I love Baker, but man, I feel like people around him are failing. Give me Carolina. Please don't win this game. Giants are catching 3 from Minnesota at MetLife. Please do not screw up the number one pick. Please.
Yeah, you know, number 9 is back for Minnesota, and he played really well last week. And
he's been functional, Boomer.
Yes.
He has.
Yeah.
I'll be fair. Yep. Functional last 2 weeks.
Right, and Jackson Dart obviously still has a lot to prove here, but, you know, I think the Giants are kind of just playing out the string here. I don't necessarily know that the players are believing in the coaching staff or maybe even the front office at this point. And I think I'm going to take the Vikings here, and I'll lay the points.
Well, I'm going to go with emotional psychology here. The Giants only cause me pain, and my father is an infinitely more positive person than I. And my father celebrated his 70th birthday last night.
Wow, so man! Happy birthday to him! And
yeah, that's right. He's
a
very good
much
man.
More positive than you. That does not surprise me.
He is. He's a beautiful human. So what the Giants are going to do? Is they're going to take a bleep in a box and send it to him as a present and cost him number one pick. Giants take the points. This is all they do is they torment my dad. Chiefs laying 3.
Are they going to send that box off for some some investigation or no?
Please. Let's go. Chiefs laying 3 at the Titans. Play of the week. You know it.
I'm thinking of Titans, man.
Yes.
I just don't think the Chiefs, you know, this is a mail-in spot for them. I know that they have pride. I know that Travis Kelce was talking about wanting to play and finish out the season. The one thing I will say, when Gardner Minshew came in last week, who was he looking for and who did he hit in the chest a number of times? That was Travis Kelce. So maybe Travis gets 10 catches here against the Titans, but I think the Titans win the game.
You have to factor in, I'm glad you said it, they're men, they're not machines. You get eliminated from the playoffs, and you're not some young, plucky team. You're the Chiefs. You're a dynasty. There's one standard, the Super Bowl. You get eliminated. Your starting quarterback's out for the year, and now you go on the road. You had Chris Jones didn't even know they got eliminated at the podium, and it's a laydown spot. I don't know if Giannotti had something for you on your show, but like this is a emotionally bereft, no way they show up spot. Give me the Titans. Bengals laid a 4.5. They travel to Miami.
And Miami going with Quinn Ewers, man. Something is up in Miami, and we were talking about this on our show in New York, and I was thinking it is really performative art by Mike McDaniel sitting Tua Tagovailoa. I think he's saying to Stephen Ross, "See, I can control the team. I'm going to bench this $250 million quarterback." And I'm like, oh, my God, man, things are coming apart at the seams down there. We also had another therapy session with Joe Burrow out at the podium on Wednesday. I just don't like where his head is at. I mean, I would stay away from this game, too. I would never bet this game, but if I'm going to, I think – I could see Joe Burrow throwing 5 touchdown passes in this game. So I'm going to take the Bengals and I'll lay the points.
No, you nailed it. We'll sort out the Tua thing in the third segment. I'm with you. Never in a million years in real life. For the purposes of the show, Bengals. Broncos laying 3.5. They welcome in Jacksonville.
Give me the Broncos. You know, I was hoping that it was going to be around 3 or maybe 2.5. But I'm going to take the Broncos, especially with the way that Bo Nix has played the last 2 weeks. Man, I've been on him all year long to let it loose, just let it go. And we finally saw that from him. Jaguars, they don't show me nothing against the Jets. The Jets were a complete mess. They weren't playing hard last week. You know, that was like 7-on-7 for Trevor Lawrence. That's not going to be the case against the Bronco defense in that building. So I'll take the 3 and 3.5 points. I'll lay it, and I'll take the Broncos.
And it's a lot like what I said about the Eagles, you know, what you do against the Raiders, null and void. All right, so Trevor Lawrence looked like he was back at Clemson. You were playing the Jets. He's only got 6 games this year without a pick. You're going against Denver, that pass rush, road game? Nah, I'm sorry, no way. Give me the Broncos. Atlanta. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Atlanta is a road favorite.
That's
laying
crazy.
3.5 against the Cardinals. Whoa, boy.
Man, you know, these two teams have killed us all year long, picking either for them or against them. You know,
you can't win. You pick them, they screw you. You pick against them, they screw you. That's it.
I think I'm going to take Kirk Cousins. I think all of a sudden when I heard him talking about, you know, coverages this week and really getting into it, there may be a chance that he ends up being the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons next year with a new coach.
Oh,
so
my God.
I'm going to take the Falcons and I'll take Kirk Cousins. I'll lay the 3.5.
Is there regime change for both of these teams?
Could be.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
Well, I think there's going to be a new quarterback, you know, in Arizona next year. That's for sure.
Has to be. I'll take Atlanta once again, purposes of the show. I want to welcome you to what I am terming the singular greatest mismatch in the history of football. It is this Texans defense against this Kenny Pickett-led offense of the Raiders. Now, the Raiders last week, guys, accomplished something I've never seen before. 75 total yards in a 60-minute football game. And now you face the modern equivalent of the 2000 Ravens. Texans laying 14.
Yeah, it's got 30 to nothing written all over it. I'll take the Texans.
Do we dare make this a play of the week and violate all of our principles? We lay this is the show. We don't lay big points like this.
Nah.
No? Okay. I was getting carried away. But you know what I'm saying. This is a mismatch of the highest order.
Yes.
Now, if the Texans decide they're going to show up on NyQuil half asleep, all right, maybe. But man alive, if they bring their B game, they might shut this team out. Texans. Lions, Steelers. Lions are laying 7. I want to remind everybody, the Detroit Football Lions have not lost back-to-back games in almost 3 years. Do what you will.
Do what I will. Well, I think the Lions are going to come out smoking. I do. I could see them winning by about 10 points. I see a 30-20 game, 30-21 game, something like that. I do like the way the Steelers have been playing as of late, but this is a different story. It's inside. You know, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers could put up as many points as I think Jared Goff will here, so I will lay the 7, and I will take the Lions.
Yeah. The problem, too, is just Steelers, their secondary is a step slow. They're not going to have Watt, presumably. Let me give you I want to give you one quote. I did this, and I laughed, because all year we've dealt with this with the Lions, where it's like, they're good, but guys, you're not last year's team. And whether it's Campbell, you had Jared Goff go with the fans this week. Kelvin Shepard, their defensive coordinator, who I think has done a pretty good job. He did the old, hey, if you take away all their good plays, we played good. Basically saying, no, our run defense wasn't a problem after they gave up 160 yards on the ground. Kelvin, you allowed 15 to 29 carries to go for 6 yards or more. Why do coaches do this? Just own it and move on. Don't gaslight people. I'll take the Lions because I think the Steelers stink. Give me the Lions. Niners,
you think
Colts.
A lot of people stink in this league that actually have winning records.
I know, but that doesn't make them good. Like, do you think the Steelers are really good? Like, if they faced any of the top 10 teams in the league, you think they beat them?
If they played them in Pittsburgh, maybe. Maybe, but going on the road, I would say no.
Right. And they're down their most important guy. I got to have TJ Watt. Niners laying 6.5 to a grandfather.
Yep, and I'll tell you what, I really was impressed by Phillip Rivers last week.
So was I.
And the reason I was impressed wasn't because, you know, he made that great throw to Alec Pierce down the left sideline at the end of the game to give them the lead. But what I saw is I saw a guy that was totally in control. You didn't see a lot of penalties. You saw a lot of short passes, a lot of Jonathan Taylor, which you should see here against the 49ers. But I don't know, Kyle Shanahan going against him. And I just think that they're going to have a hard time scoring against the 49ers. I'm going to take the 49ers and lay the points.
No.
Yes.
No big road favorites in prime time. Why do you hurt me this way? Listen.
Brock Purdy's going to throw 4 touchdown passes here.
Okay, well, if it's that simple, look, I'm rooting for Phil. I think it's ridiculous, but I don't know. I couldn't stop watching it. And the Niners don't really turn you over, and they don't run the football. Come on, for the old guys. Get that Tiger Balm out or whatever the hell. The guy's going to go out there. You'll be able to smell him 30 feet away.
I would think that he's going to be a hell of a lot more sore this week than he was last week. I could tell you that.
He might be out there in a wheelchair, but damn it, I'm here for it. Give me the Colts with the points. Keep it close for the old guys. Third segment. We got a game of the week where it looks like the wrong team is favored. We got a QB carousel. So much left to do. Don't make a move. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
So good, so good, so good.
Give big, save big with Rack Friday deals at Nordstrom Rack. For a limited time, take an extra 40% off Red Tag clearance for a total savings up to 75% off. Save on gifts for everyone on your list from brands like Vince, Cole Haan, Sam Edelman, and more. All sales final and restrictions apply. The best stuff goes fast, so bring your gift list and your wish list to your nearest Nordstrom Rack today.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
We're going to have some fun because we have a QB carousel. There was a lot of QB news, and we're at this point in the season. We could start to have some opinions on who's going to have a job, who's not. But I want to start with this. A game where I took a triple take. The Ravens are favored over the Patriots. Ravens laying 2.5. You know the stakes. The Patriots are going to have to wait to clinch the division. Maybe this week after that loss against the Bills. But the Pats are in a much more comfortable spot. The Ravens are as back against the wall as it gets. So, Boomer, unpack it. Is the right team favored here?
No, I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because the Bengals mailed another one in last week. And, you know, the Ravens win that game. Maybe that's a get-right game for them, and maybe they can build off of that. But I think the Patriots got a wake-up call last week, and I think Mike Vrabel has probably been all over his team in terms of finishing games and re-establishing momentum, especially at home, which was really disappointing from a Patriots perspective last week. So I would think that Drake May and his mates are going to come out. They're going to be flying this week. And I just don't think the Ravens' defense is all that good. You know, they don't get a lot of sacks. Now, I will say that Drake May does take sacks, but they don't get enough sacks on defense. They don't put enough pressure on the opposing quarterback. And with that two-headed running game that the Patriots will bring to this game, I think that they cover the number, and I think that they're going to win outright.
All right, I have a note here that says Scone's play of the week, but I don't know whose team.
Pats, I'm taking the Pats all the way this week. You have to. I mean, Baltimore is, I mean, they're spiraling out of control. I don't trust them. Pats coming off. And last week with the Patriots losing, it wasn't because they played bad. It was because Superman took over. I still think they're the better team in this game, and they shouldn't be getting 2.5. They should be favored in this game, like you guys said before.
All right, now hold on. I want to be fair. Now, Brian, you're a very intelligent man. You've also are highly accomplished at Sheetrock and other homewares.
That's twice in 2 weeks now you called me an intelligent person.
You are, but you're falling into it here. You're stepping in it. You know when the wrong team's favored. You're not. Come on. You think they're really like, hey, buddy, I got a deal for you. I'm going to give you the better team and 2.5 points.
Here, I know that dollar. They're dangling the carrot. I got it. But I still trust the Pats over the Ravens. That's really what it comes down to for me, all personally.
Right. Neither of you are wrong. Let me be clear. Football stuff, you're right. But you know it. The universe is speaking to me. I got to go with the Ravens here. More desperate team. Do we get a Lamar performance? Does Lamar get back on track? We talk about Superman, right? We talk about Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes when he's healthy. Lamar was in that category. Now, he's been bad since Halloween. This is a night, if he's ever going to regain his footing and start running the football and be dynamic, it's got to be here, right? They got to have it. I'm going to do this one time. I'm going to bank on Lamar, and I know what I know. I don't know lots of stuff, but when the wrong team's favored, give me a break. That looks the carrot and the stick. You reach for the carrot, they're going to give you the stick. Give me the Ravens.
The only thing I'm going to say to you is that Lamar Jackson looks a step slow to me. He doesn't look like the same Lamar like from last year or the year before his MVP seasons. There's just something off about it, and I am not taking last week's performance and saying, okay, everything's all right with the Ravens right now because the Bengals just were atrocious.
You know, maybe he needs a pot filler over his stove like you two. That's what we do in commercial breaks, guys. We talk about Brian installing things in his house. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
All right, now, so we got the Patriots. Me and Brian got the Patriots. Yeah. You have the Ravens, and Brian's got a brand new kitchen, so it's great.
It's phenomenal. It's the holiday vibes are high. Brian, let's get to this carousel because there's a ton of good stuff in here.
I'm never going to hear the end of this kitchen. All right, guys, listen.
I love it. We're talking back splashes.
Listen, guys. Tua's bench for Quinn Ewers this week coming out of Miami. This can't be sitting well with Tua. Is Tua wearing a different jersey next year?
It's going to be really hard because it's a $99 million cap hit to the Dolphins. They're going to do something. I think it's kind of feels like Russell Wilson with the Broncos. That's what it feels like to me right now. And it is significant between Mike McDaniel and Tua. I can't believe this. And the way that Mike McDaniel came out and basically said Tua is going to the number three spot. So there's something going on between the two of them. And I don't know if it's performative art by Mike McDaniel to show the owner that he's in charge and he's not going to let the players run over him. Maybe that's part of this to try to save his job. But, man, there is a mess a-brewing down in Miami.
Boomer said a lot of it. I mean, Scones, the contract's the only reason I don't just go, yep, he's gone. There'd be a dead cap hit of $100 million. I don't know what you do. And you're right. I mean, the only thing I can say is he's not the first QB to be benched. He won't be the last. And we've seen guys work their way back. But this strikes to something that it's a personality thing, that there's something here. Because when he made the comment, I want conviction from my quarterback play, I'm going, where is this coming from? Like, I view it this way too, fellas. Tua is similar to Jared Goff in this regard. You have to protect them at an elite level to extract the good. Now, look, you've seen Goff. He's got the 29 touchdowns. He's also got several bad performances this year. Why? Lions O-line took a step back. We're not that far away from Tua being talked about as an MVP or Tua being talked about as a high-level guy. What's changed? Their O-line's in tatters. Their wide receiving core is falling apart. And look what happens. Tua needs to be insulated, and he's not.
I just think something happened last week because they had won four games in a row. Tua was playing pretty decently. And then all of a sudden in Pittsburgh, I think on the sideline, smiling, frolicking, if you will, and there were some things that must have went on during this game where he didn't play well in the weather. That to me was as shocking a move as I've seen in the NFL in the last 2 years.
And guys, you wonder if it was the start. The start of it was back in like week 5 or 6 when Tua came out with those comments and threw everybody under the bus about being late to meetings and players not showing up and not paying attention. So you wonder
if it
could
be part of
that.
One big storyline throughout the season, but now all of a sudden it comes to a head. Now he's got to pay the price with his reputation.
Right. That brings us to Joe Burrow. All right. A guy who looks like he doesn't want to play football anymore. Is the marriage between Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow over? And again, another massive contract.
All right. This is Boomer. Mr. Cincy. Go ahead.
So dead cap number for him next year would be $56 million if they trade him. I don't know. These things are becoming therapy sessions for Joe Burrow. I would imagine if I were the owner of the Bengals, I'd be sitting there going, what is going on here? What's happening? And I think I don't think any of this would have happened had they won in Buffalo a couple weeks ago. I will say that he came out, Joe Burrow did, and said he played his worst game as a pro. That's why I think he's going to play well this week at Miami. I firmly believe that he will be the quarterback of the Bengals next year. Unless, let's say the Jets get the number one overall pick somehow, and they want to trade half of their draft haul over the next 2 years, which is significant. And would the Bengals consider that and then take Fernando Mendoza number one overall?
Well, they'd have to consider a full-blown revolt. I mean, this is a business. You better be real careful. You trade Joe Burrow after you alienated Trey Hendrickson, after you alienated your defensive captain the year prior and Jermaine Pratt. Boomer, you trade Burrow. Boy, you better get a Herschel Walker deal.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just throwing that out there. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he'll be the quarterback there next year. By the way, he got both of his best friends, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, signed to huge contracts. He's not leaving there.
No, I think because of the finances, he'll be there next year, but I think that's it. I do believe there's something to this. This guy burns to win. I think he knows he's playing for a bad organization.
And by the way, I am a Zach Taylor fan. I go on record as saying that. And when he had a healthy Joe Burrow, they went to the Super Bowl. Joe has not been able to stay healthy, a little bit along the lines of Daniel Jones, if you will. When he's out there, the team believes. When he's not, they don't. So that's why he has to stay healthy. Could the Bengals fire Zach Taylor and then go to Joe Burrow and ask him, would you like to have Joe Brady as your head coach? Joe Brady being the offensive coordinator of the Bills, who was his offensive coordinator at LSU. I guess I could see that, and maybe that would pacify Joe again. But somehow he better find his love for football again, because they paid him $275 million.
And they better find a defense.
100%. That's where all their draft capital should be going, and maybe an offensive lineman or two.
All right, guys. You guys, you know, I left him off the list. He completely slipped my mind, but you alluded to this in the last segment. Kyler Murray, another massive contract. And a regime change potentially in the cards for Arizona. Mike, is Kyler Murray wearing a Cardinals jersey next year?
No, I don't see it. I mean, obviously, this is another boomer spot. He's a big fan of Paradise Valley. To me, it's impossible. And no matter what the money is, let's face it, that's not a winning football team. Yeah, I think you got to get rid of him and try again. And by the way, Marvin Harrison sucks. So it's all bad.
Well, I'm trying to think. The dead cap for Kyler Murray would probably, it's about $42 million. So I think that they could handle moving on from him. I think they're done with it. I think the quarterback has got to be the face of your franchise, got to be the leader of your franchise. And that's one thing where I don't give him high marks at all. As a matter of fact, Jacoby Brissett was the one that brought out a little bit more of Marvin Harrison Jr. when he actually was playing reasonably well.
All right, I had to bring this up. Bo Nix. I mean, the Broncos are arguably the best team in the NFL, right? Sean Payton has completely catered the offense to Bo Nix because, let's face it, he's not as good as everybody thinks. Is Bo Nix out for Sean Payton to get somebody in there, somebody he wants?
He wants Bo Nix. He wanted Bo Nix. You know why? Because he coaches the kid hard. I mean, he's not afraid to yell at him. He's not afraid to be yelled at. It's kind of like the Parcells-Sims relationship where they both be screaming at each other. And eventually, Bo Nix will scream back. He's just not going to do it yet, but he's going to take hard coaching from Sean Payton. And I thought that Sean Payton has made an adjustment here the last 2 weeks, opening up their offense and putting more pressure on Bo Nix because he knows if he wants to win in the playoffs, Bo Nix has got to be one of the biggest reasons why. So as long as he stays away from the turnovers and they continue to play like he's played the last 2 weeks, hey, they could go all the way to the Super Bowl in my eyes.
And Scones, remember, rookie scale contract. The reason that team can be that insulated, they got a guy making 10 cents on the dollar.
No, that's true. That makes more sense because then they could sign everybody to surround him. I get it. Kirk Cousins, all right, we touched on him last week. Where is he going to end up?
I think he ends up in Atlanta next year. Michael Penix Jr. is not going to be ready to play. They still have him under contract for another year. He's playing well this year. He's either that or a stopgap quarterback for somebody else. But I just can't see the Falcons moving on from him because they're going to need him next year.
Oh, God. You can't. No. I just know on principle, and I don't have any reasons to offer. No.
Home Depot.
Yeah, that's where. He'll be, you know, Scones, you could buy some backsplash from Kirk Cousins. He'll be in aisle 18. There's no way.
I'm just telling you, what are they going to do? First of all, if Raheem Morris stays there, I think Kirk Cousins will be there. Now, if they change the coach, I don't know what's going to happen. But all I know is that they still have him under contract. They thought for 3 years they could use him. And with Michael Penix's injury, he's not going to be ready for the start of the season. So where do they turn other than Kirk Cousins?
I know. I just, you know what? Maybe you're right. He's there because, oh, wait, they don't have a first-round draft pick. They traded it.
Yep.
What an awful situation. By the way, never say the words if they bring Raheem Morris back. If that happens, everyone in Atlanta should have a mental acuity test.
All right, real quick, Mac Jones. I got to skip over Daniel Jones. Let's
Minnesota.
Go to Mac Jones. Okay.
Vikings.
Wow. Well, you know, it all depends how number 9 finishes here, boys. And number 9 had a good game last week. So if J.J. McCarthy has another good game against the Giants this week and continues to build, maybe they'll be happy to keep that quarterback on his rookie contract. But if not, then definitely Mac Jones headed to the Vikings would make a lot of sense.
You know how I feel. Giants are going to ruin my father's birthday by winning. That's going to hurt J.J. That the Mac attack goes to Minnesota.
All right, Geno Smith. He's done, right? He's out.
Yes.
Oh,
done.
Yeah.
Done like this show is. Guys, we're out of here. We're over time. That's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.